Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Genesis 6, the title of my sermon is Noe and Jonas, which is the Greek rendering of Noah and Jonah. "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand what is being preached and proclaimed, and that the Holy Spirit would touch each heart and bring conviction of sin. Please, Lord, I believe you've given me this message. Please do the work that you desire in the heart, that we would live for you and forsake the world and forsake ourselves. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus quoted from this passage we're studying, and we're going to turn to another one in a bit that Jesus also quoted. It's interesting to note that the two passages we're going to talk about refer to the coming of Jesus Christ, his first coming and then his second coming. But he said in Genesis chapter 6, the first few verses, that life went on. Everybody was concerned about everything that everybody's concerned about. You know, when a young person, their goal in life is, well, I hope I find somebody I like and can stand and get married and have kids and whatever, and I need a job and I need to do this and that, and maybe I want to, and what have you. They're concerned about life. But he said in verse 3, the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with man, but that his days would be 120 years. It doesn't mean that he's going to live to be 120 years old. There's a different message. It means that all man has left is 120 years. That sounds ominous, and it was, as we'll read. In verse 4, we read on, "There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bare children unto them. They became mighty men of old, men of renown." So life went on, and then they kind of capitalized on that, and some guys got famous and whatever. Just like today, I got a TV like everybody else. They call it the boob tube in the 50s, and we're still sitting in front of it watching that one-eyed demon. And I don't care about that stuff, but if I was younger and more in tune, I could say, well, I could call a name and everybody would say, oh yeah, they were on that program before, and did you hear that, what happened on last week at the festival and whatever, and everybody knows everything about them. I mean, I'm too old to care for that stuff, but that's what goes on today. Or you want to turn to music, you can mention somebody on the radio and the people are off to the races. They can tell you everything about things that don't matter at all. TV doesn't matter one bit. Most of the stuff on TV is junk. Most of the stuff on the radio is junk. It doesn't help, but that's what people do. It's the end of August. A few weeks, if they hadn't started already, they're going to start football. And, oh, that's another big thing. And everybody's Monday Night Football and this and that. And it's off to the races. And the Saints going to lose again this year. I mean, it's off to the race. There's absolutely no consequence to whether or not the Saints even play. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
But we're all excited about it, right? But he said that man's only got 120 years left. In verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil only, continually. All man thought about was not, let's do right, not let's do good, not let's help somebody or be productive, but on the things that are evil. You know, good and evil is easy to understand. I've often said that a sinner, when he gets saved, he stops going to the bar on Saturday night and you find him on church on Sunday morning. There's a difference between holy living and sinful, or can I say normal living. It's normal to do this and to do that and chase after everything. It's abnormal to want to leave all that fun, pleasures of sin for a season, it says. It's abnormal to want to live for God. But that's what he wants. And again, there's a warning in verse 4. Man's only got 120 years left. In verse 6, and it repented the Lord. God is having second thoughts that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. You know, the Christian thing and the thing on TBN and the thing in a lot of churches, oh, God's blessing me and bless this, bless that. But he says, I will destroy man, not bless them. Destroy them that I have created. Destroy them off the face of the earth, both man and beast, the animals, the creeping things, the insects, the birds. For it repenteth me. I'm sorry that I created all of this. That's kind of a bit different, isn't it? Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then it kind of switches gears. These are the generations or the family tree of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. He lived a godly life. In Mississippi, the Baptists say, we don't smoke and we don't chew and we don't go with the girls that do, right? Noah lived right. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Everybody knows what the word Semitic or anti-Semitic. Everybody knows that, you know, if you're anti-Semitic, you hate the Jews. The word is really Shemitic. It means the descendants of Shem, one of the sons of Noah. It's not just the Jews. A lot of the Arabs are also Semitic. But this is where it's from. It's interesting that in 2018, you turn on CNN and whatever, and you probably would, at some point during the month of August, they're going to talk about anti-Semitic this or that, right? They're still mentioning this guy's name in the sixth chapter of the Bible. They're still talking about it. About Shem. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That was 5,000 years ago. The earth was filled with violence. You turn on the TV, And you can talk about Ferguson. You can talk about any of these places. They're tearing down, burning, killing. If the guy with the wrong colors, I mean, let's talk Crips and Bloods. The guy with the red hat says that MAGA on it, they'll beat him half to death. The earth is still filled with violence. Now, it's worse now than it's exactly. ever been in this country.
Right.
It's getting worse, and that should be a warning. That should be a warning that God sees, and God's kind of ticked off about it.
Amen.
And God is not going to let violence continue in this nation.
Amen.
God will bring judgment. And those that are stirring up hatred, those that are stirring up racism, those that are stirring up political issues, God will judge them. Nobody has to answer to me, but when God does it, everybody will know it. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh, everybody, all people, had corrupted his way upon the earth. Man that tries to live right, Christian, is called every vile name you can think of. Man just wants to live right, doesn't feel like he ought to bake a cake for a gay wedding, and, well, he has to go to the Supreme Court to be told, yeah, you're right, you don't have to bake a cake for a gay wedding. Everything's backwards. But look at this. Maybe 5,000 years, maybe 4,500 years ago, the same thing. Things were backwards. Things were wrong. Nobody wanted to live for God. They wanted to live for themselves. And that describes today. Verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. In other words, we just read in verse 3, man's only got 120 years left. And then here in verse 13, he says, the end is just about here. The end of everybody. I'm going to kill everybody off. God says, I'm sorry that I created man and this wonderful creation. He's destroyed it. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, the ones that he created. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But then he says in verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Ark is a big boat. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And we know the story. God said, Noah, you and your wife and your three kids and their wives and two of every kind of animal you can find, get in the ark. Get in the big boat. We know the story. I mean, I can sit here and read it, but we know the story. We understand that they went into the ark, and God shut the door, and a week later it began to rain. And then water came up from the aquifers underneath the soil. What's an aquifer? You know, out in the desert, out in Arizona, whatever, they get their water not from the lake, but up underneath the ground. This is a well-known established fact. There are rivers underneath the ground. It's called aquifers and whatever. It rained, and then it says the fountain of the deep, the aquifers, broke up, and water came from the sky, and water came from the ground, and flooded everything. It flooded everything. It covered every mountain. Covered everything. Everybody died. And it rained for 40 days or whatever it was, and for another 11 months, if we count it right, I think, they were in that boat, floating, waiting for the destruction to pass. In verse 17, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, whereas in the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But but with thee, with Noah, I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And then we go to chapter 7. He talks about the two and two beasts, but the clean beasts, according to Leviticus, the lamb, the cow, what have you, that he was to take by sevens. It matters. May not get to it, but that matters. It's not just two and two. It's some of them, the clean beasts. The ones that God said were acceptable for sacrifices, you to bring seven. People skip over that. It matters. Verse 12 of Genesis 7, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And in verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth. In verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly, in other words, got really, really high, really deep, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. The highest mountain is Everest, at 29,000 feet, whatever. A cubit is a foot and a half. So it says 22 feet above the height of Everest. Everything was covered by water. And the natural man and the pretend scientists says that's impossible. Well, I believe the book.
Amen.
If you want to think you fell out of a tree and started writing Shakespeare, you can, but I believe the book. Verse 23 again, Genesis chapter 7, and every living substance was destroyed which was on the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. I'm blessed. Well, maybe not. And the waters, in verse 24, prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Genesis chapter 9. We skipped chapter 8. We didn't talk about those extra beasts, the seven instead of the two. It's in that chapter. What he did was, when he got off the boat, Noah got off the boat, he took those clean animals and he left two of each, but the other five, he made an offering to God. When we come through something rough, we ought to make an offering to God. Not promising anything, but we ought to worship Him and we ought to thank Him. And we ought to promise to try to live right. Genesis chapter 9, verse 9, and behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed or offspring after you. In verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. He destroyed the earth, except for eight people, and the animals that were in the boat. He says, I'm never going to destroy the earth by water again. It will never destroy the earth by water again. But he said that in verse 12, and God said, this is the token of the covenant. What is a covenant? What is a token? When you get married, you guys are making a covenant. That's what it's called. The token is the rings that symbolize the covenant. Again, Genesis 9, verse 12, and this is the token of the covenant which I shall make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. He destroyed everything that was because the people were evil. He saved eight, and then he made a promise, I'll never do that again, and then I'm going to give you a token of the covenant. In other words, like the rings that symbolize the wedding vows and what have you. I'll give you a token. Verse 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, a rainbow. That's what it's talking about. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and the earth. and the bow, or that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And that's what we see. And after a rainstorm, we see the rainbow. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. We can look up and see God's promise. Practically every time it rains, if we get lucky, we're in the right place. We can see the token of God's covenant, that he would not do that ever again. God is in heaven, and he looks down, and every time there's a rainstorm, he sees that rainbow and says, oh yeah, I said I wasn't going to destroy those people no more with a flood. Isn't that amazing? They've taken the rainbow and made it to something horrible. But God remembers his covenant. In Luke chapter 17, and I got a bunch of verses, I'm going to try and trim them down. Jesus is speaking, and it says, "And when he was demanded of by the Pharisees." But he says that in verse 23, "When they shall say unto you, see here or see there," in other words, the kingdom of God has come. If somebody says to you, hey, you know, have you seen on TV or did you hear about that idiot out in California, Oregon or whatever? Forget all of that. Don't follow them. Don't go after them. Don't even turn on the TV to look. It ain't me. Verse 24, "For as the lightning that flashes out of one part of the sky and shines to the other part of the sky, so shall the Son of Man be in his day." When Jesus comes back, it'll be like lightning. Everybody will know it. Everybody will see it. There's not going to be any mistake. Not a rumor of it. Not, I saw something on Facebook, but it says that every eye will see him. Now, let me say about Facebook. There's so much junk on Facebook, and so many gullible people will follow everything. My mom used to tell me, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he was posted on Facebook the other day, says you shouldn't believe half the stuff on the Internet. But let me say, you can believe the book that you got in your hand. But let's see what Jesus had to say. He said, when I come back, it's going to be like lightning in the sky. But first, the Messiah, which he was, must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And we know that Jesus suffered many things. They pulled his beard from off his face. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. I know that if you see a picture of it in some church or whatever, he's got a loincloth, but he didn't have that. And everybody walked past and made a joke when they walked past. He suffered many things. And he was rejected. You know, he's the Messiah. He's the one. But his own people rejected him. His own people put him on that cross. But in verse 26, again, Luke chapter 17, "But as it was in the day of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Well, just like we read in Genesis 6, they were going about living life and getting married and having kids. Just like today. They ate and they drank. They got married and they did all this stuff. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You may have heard of Lot. You may have. "Likewise, as in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. They got on Facebook, they did all this stuff. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Jesus is coming back. And God will destroy the earth once again. But he remembers that rainbow. He's not going to cause a flood. There's a singer that I like, Charles Johnson. He's got a song, and one of the lyrics in the chorus says, "The first time water, but fire next time." God will again destroy the earth because of the wickedness. You know, it's right. We're talking about marriage. It's right for a man and woman to get married, but you can't get on TV and say that. You'll be called all kind of nasty names. It's normal for people to get married, man and woman. It's normal. It's biology. I don't believe in evolution. Evolution's a big lie, but according to evolution, that's how things progress. But nowadays, you can't say traditional marriage. They'll get all up in your face. You can get fired from your job. You can get fired from your job for saying you believe in man and woman. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You can get fired from your job for saying that. It's a simple biological fact. Everybody on the planet got here because a mom and a dad. But you can't admit that. In certain places, you can't say it. And I know of people that get fired for saying, hey, duh, common sense. Because you're homophobic and you're this and that. No, you're not. You're just normal. And they don't like it.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.